Chris Patty made a montage for Steve Rosenblum's retirement, and I had been doing really, really
good. For Terry Bors' retirement, yes.
For Terry Bors' retirement, and I had been doing real good about controlling my emotions.
That was very nice, and I'm currently working on Steve Rosenblum's retirement montage right now.
That's going to be a doozy.
It's going to air on Saturday.
Yeah, he doesn't want to retire.
Sorry, Steve, you had to find out this way.
He doesn't want to retire, but you've
got it. Well, I'm doing it, so they asked me to do it.
It's almost done, and when it's done,
nice.
He has to retire. I hope you never start on mine.
Is that how it works?
Oh! Wow, you did have a surprise, Trash Panda.
Well, so that's it. So this is it. Yeah, your montage is on the way, and you're retiring.
Do you want to whiteboard that for the late coming crowd in this week of the Terry-thon?
That was Monday. So Monday in the 5 o'clock hour in the afternoon show, Ann Heron was in with Spiegel, and they were just, you know, taking calls talking about Terry. And one of the, as you heard, you know, one of the callers misspoke and said it was a Rosenblum retirement montage that we had played last week when we played played Terry, the montage that Tanny made when Terry retired. And so now Tanny is working on your retirement montage, and as soon as that's ready, you'll be done.
Wow, that sounds like a great Twilight Zone episode. Tanny works on it. Tanny retires you. Tanny kills you. Tanny has this magic.
And then Russ Matera has the eulogy, or not the eulogy,
yes,
the obituary bump.
Yeah, that was somebody called up. See, we've often contended on these radio airwaves, this here airwaves. By the way, this is Saturday Suckage. 670 The Score AM, soon to be 104.3 FM, home of the Wake and Bake Club, like it ought to be. Whatever milligrams you need. So, we've contended the radio show we do isn't the one people hear necessarily. And that would be a really good example. We played it. We played it, billboarded it last week as Terry's retirement from The Score. Tanny put together a spectacular thing that Tanny usually does, and somebody thought it was my retirement. Yes, I'm playing my own retirement montage.
That would be something else. That's what an egotistical move. here's my retirement montage that I had Tanny make for me.
That's right. 331 texter, need a retirement after today's opening. Yeah, thank you for that callback. 630 texture. Well, Steve, my wife says the Mars Brewery pot beer is better than Evolution. Just saying. She made me text you as a Score hostage. Oh, we do that too. We have many people holding their wives hostage listening to this show, and sometimes they're tormentors. We did have a Score listener, a Saturday Suckage listener, walk around with the radio and play it in whatever room his wife was in. Talk about poking the bear, sir. 219, exit 1 in New Buffalo has a Michigan dispensary run by Native Americans who run the casino. The taxes are way less there than all the other dispensaries. Oh. Me and Otter were talking about going up to Michigan. I don't want to do it, but I'm sure the taxes are way less. And that was. And New Buffalo has Redimac, right? Isn't that where you can get a hamburger? The Redimac restaurant?
Sure.
No?
Okay. I've only ever been through New Buffalo. So once we stopped to get weed, actually. But I can't say that I looked around to check the scenery.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it was, or Dave's Diner or whatever it was. There were two of those places. Went there one summer.
There's actually a rainbow cone in a town not too far outside of New Buffalo. That was kind of funny that I saw it when I was going.
That's really the South Side, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so I was going to my friend's bachelor party a couple years ago. We got this really cool Airbnb that was kind of outside this small town that was outside of New Buffalo in Michigan. And so going through this other small town, there's a rainbow cone. And I had to, in my head, do the Ed Farmer. There's Rainbow Cone. We should get Rainbow Cone. Because I had to do it in my head because no one that I was with would have understood the reference. So I almost blurted out. It's Rainbow Cone. We should get Rainbow Cone. Everyone's going to get Rainbow Cone. We're going to be happy.
You could say it out loud and just be ready to whiteboard it.
I don't think they would have understood the Ed Farmer voice. And I guess I could have explained. Well, you know, Ed Farmer. Who's Ed Farmer? He's a longtime White Sox radio guy. And then I'm in the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I had to explain to you who Andy Sipowicz was, and good luck with your first crap. You had to have that.
So
that's how lore gets handed down. That's how we do it.
For all of our Jewish friends, be safe when you drive home.
Thank you. Happy Passover to you too, Ed. All right, so I want to get back to this discussion because the miracle, there's a new documentary on Netflix about the miracle, the boys of 1980. Got them all back together. Looks like last summer, brought them to Lake Placid. The thing opens, the players are marched into the arena, walk into the arena, and they sit down on the bench, the one on which they sat when they pulled off the miracle on ice, and they won the gold medal. Spoiler alert, they won the gold medal in 1980.
Oh, well, now what am I got to watch the thing for now?
Yeah, you don't have to watch it at all because it's spectacular. I know a lot about that. I've talked with a lot of those guys, especially with Jack O'Callaghan, who's featured in that. And I found out stuff I was unaware of, and some of it brought me to tears. The whole story brings me to tears. And I don't know if I said earlier, Texter held me to this and made an excellent point, because we're talking about Indiana versus Miracle, 1980, the greater miracle. Which was more improbable, Indiana going 16-0, winning the college football title, or college kids beating the greatest hockey team in the world and causing the greatest goalie in the world to be yanked after 20 minutes, Vladislav Tretiak? Which was the greatest miracle? And I said, miracle was it. That was the greater story. It was the greatest sports story. I usually say the greatest sports story of my lifetime. And if I said, and I'm not going to go back and listen to the tape because it's worth discussing here, greatest sports story in history, I am wrong and the Texter is right. The Texter brought up Jackie Robinson. That is the greatest sports story in history. Just not my lifetime. I know I'm old. I'm not that old. Not 1947 old. But the greatest sports story in my lifetime, and certainly is Miracle on Ice. And another Texter made the point here about Indiana. Those players got paid. Somewhere along the way, they got paid. Miracle on Ice, the college kids, nope, they were just happy to be there. You can't believe how happy they were to be there. You can't believe how happy they were to do the Herbies. We watched it last night, and they walk you through with the players telling the story, Al Michaels telling the story, and it's never gets old for me. That sports story never gets old. So I was thinking that you guys don't get paid. What if Trash Panda, what if Western Illinois won the national title?
No, that would be even greater, a greater turnaround than
that would be a miracle.
Indiana. So, are we talking about football or basketball? Actually,
I don't know. You could pick one. It doesn't really matter.
So
but
football, they actually in the past have been pretty good. They've never won a national championship, so football wouldn't be quite the same. If their basketball team won the national title, that would be greater than the Indiana turnaround.
I mean, their basketball team beats one of the Blue Bloods, whoever it is, or whoever's good now. And that was the miracle thing. You're talking about college kids taking on the best hockey team, the gold medal winners for 20 years, for the last 20 years. And only days before the Olympics started, the Russians beat the Americans 10-3 in Madison Square Garden, and it could have been 20-3. And that's the kind of – that's why I think the Miracle on Ice, and Mike Ruzzinoni is right to say, Mr. Cuban, sit down. Just be happy with your victory. And by the way, as long as we're talking movies, we lost a treasure. Catherine O'Hara, Catherine O'Hara passed away yesterday at 73. Do you? She was so talented. She did such a variety of roles. You will, right? Around here, right? She's Kevin's mom, right? Isn't that it? Trash Panda?
Oh, yeah.
What do you know her as?
So Home Alone was pretty foundational in my youth, so I know her as the mom from Home Alone. And she always reminded me, actually, in that movie, that specific role of my best friend's mom. Because I think they just kind of looked similar, and they had similar hair back, you know, because that was the look in the 90s, right? So I know her from that mostly. And then secondly, Beetlejuice would be...
Uh-huh.
And then outside that, I kind of found out about other like voice roles that she did that I didn't recognize her from.
I would call your attention to the mockumentaries she did, Christopher Guest mockumentaries, most notably Best in Show. The mockumentary Best in Show for your, you know, with your, for your consideration. But Waiting for Guffman was the original, and she and Fred Willard, especially in that, you can see where her improv chops, she was part of Second City, SCTV, you can see where those chops were developed and how they played out in what would be later roles, leading right through, I can't say the name of her last show, I'm afraid to. What do you think?
You Schitt's Creek, you can say that.
I guess so, you just did. I didn't know.
Other people have said it on the station.
All right, it just sounded, I just wanted to... But the talent on SCTV, and obviously the lifelong relationship she had with Eugene Levy right through Schitt's Creek. See, I just said it. And I would also call your attention, I think you can find it on, speaking of the Olympics, I think you can find it on the YouTube. In 2010, Vancouver hosted the Olympics. And the Olympics ended with this traditional closing ceremonies the way it has. And then Catherine O'Hara, William Shatner, and Michael Fox, three Canadians, they're as Canadian as moose, come out in Vancouver, and there is a Canadian closing ceremony where one of the things Catherine O'Hara does is she apologizes for Canadians constantly apologizing. She says sorry that we all say sorry. We say sorry a lot. She's apologizing for all the apologizing that the nice people in Canada do. And it's somewhere on the YouTube, and I recommend that you find that as well. She was just a magnet. She was a talent. It was magnificent in the range of roles, especially in the mockumentaries, the Christopher Guest stuff. Was just spectacular.
And I'm glad a texter reminded me of this from the 815. She also had a role in the most recent season of The Last of Us. That was a pretty,
really?
She was pretty good in that. It was a role that wasn't in the video games that they invented for the show, and it was pretty. She was pretty good. She was like a psychiatrist basically, and yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
The studio, she was in studio, another texture alerts. Is that the one that our friend Seth Rogen, our Wake and Bake, he's on Mount Cushmore?
I think that's the one.
And she was on that. She's everywhere. You would want her to do everything. If you produced any kind of movie, you would want her. And she was a treasure. I loved watching the woman act, and I have great regard for the people in those mockumentaries because a lot of it was improvised. A lot of it was ad-libbed, and for whatever Christopher Guest wrote, there was still room for play, and you could see a lot of them having fun and winking, and essentially winking at the audience. We know what's going on. We know how sweetly, how it might, you might get diabetes at how sweet this whole thing is and the way we're doing this, and yet we're winking along with you. in doing this mockumentary. Waiting for Guffman for your consideration, and then A Mighty Wind. A Mighty Wind was the folk music one she and Eugene Levy did.
I got another outside the box one that I forgot she was in. I just went to her IMDb page.
Yeah.
She had a role in the movie Orange County.
Really?
Yeah, she was the mom in Orange County. You've seen that movie, right, with Jack Black and the other guy's name I can't remember?
Did not. I lived in the San Fernando Valley. We did not go behind the Orange Curtain. I didn't believe Jews were allowed behind the Orange Curtain in Orange County, so it didn't go there.
It's a pretty funny movie. Colin Hanks is the guy that's in the main character. One of those guys that you'll recognize if you see him. And Jack Black is like his idiot brother. It's a pretty funny, it's kind of a stoner movie. I think you'd like it. Flip it on.
Dude, Orange County. Dude, we'll do that. All right, dude, we're going to take a break. When we come back, cultural zeitgeist. There was a winner in last week's storm that about two-thirds of the nation was hit with. And there was a clear winner. We'll come back with that and other stuff and nonsense. And before we get out of here, there is a really touching email. So I'll bring you a coda to the coda of this Terry-thon week. Terry Bores, an email exchange with one of the interns around here going way back in station history. And I think it's touching. I think it's fitting. And even if you don't, I'm going to do it because that's the kind of person Terry was. And I'll never get tired of that story, like I'll never get tired of the 1980 Miracle on Ice story. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it, do it, do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
OB to the SA, that's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Ohms. Ohms.
Ohms. Ohms.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Welcome in, welcome back. We're penetrating the culture. Steve Rosen here, Saturday Suckage. Be here till the top of the hour. Appreciate you joining us. Last week, there was a lot of terror. Remember, it was winter storm was coming all over the United States. Well, at least for the eastern two-thirds of it. Texas to Boston. And, you know, the weather report went like this. Southerners, do not drive unless absolutely, positively, definitely necessary. Northerners, bring your big coat. So that there is a winner from last weekend's storm, and it would be in the South. It would be the Louisville Metro Police Department. See, there's no plows in the South, no salt, no chance. So the Louisville Metro Police Department social media went nuts and proved to be so entertaining that HR called. Let me read you. Let me share with you some of the social media, some of the tweets from the Louisville Metro Police Department. If you absolutely must go out, drive like your grandma's in the back seat. Drive even slower if your grandma is actually in the back seat. Also, call her. She misses you. Love you, Nana. Hope you see this. Okay, that's nice. I mean, that's good advice in advance of the storm. Also, in advance of the storm, friendly reminder. If you only clear a tiny circle of windshield to drive, you're not, quote, saving time. You're piloting a submarine on land in public. Stop that. If you hear someone say it ain't that bad, that is. After the storm hit, Louisville received about 4 inches of snow, yet somehow every Honda Civic in the county has decided to reenact the Oregon Trail. Sir, your vehicle has died of being a Honda Civic, and now it's in a ditch. A wrecker will be with you in 5 hours. Wow. These people just aren't prepared. During the storm, while people are trying to get out of it, Louisville Metro Police Department, if your car is stuck, stay put. An LMPD officer will be along shortly to push, pull, lift, drag, or simply judge you. So you can see that some of these are getting, they're funny, funnier, a little darker, maybe a little angrier. Next tweet. We ain't even got the good snow. We got that free sample at Costco snow. And we're still out here losing our minds like it's Snowmageddon 2035. Calm down, people. It ain't that deep, literally. See, now they're getting angry, the Louisville Metro Police Department.
Slowly descending into madness.
Yes, it is. On Sunday night, seemingly the end of the snowstorm and their problems, the LMPD sent this out. 2 days of snow in Louisville. Zero lessons learned. Hundreds of cars stuck. Officers doing Olympic-level sled pushes. And half the state arguing with physics. We laughed. We cried. We questioned humanity. Thanks for the content, Louisville. Y'all are wild. See you tomorrow. And then apparently tomorrow included an email from HR. I don't know whether it's true or not, but the story continues. The tweet says, HR just said, give me the phone. We said no. They said yes. We said, this is police property. They said, even worse. There's your winner of the storm. So we'll continue on with cultural zeitgeist. Omaha! Vanderbilt quarterback, you've heard of him, right, Trash Panda? Diego Pavia? Right?
Yes. It's unavoidable. I think I was forced to hear about him.
Okay. He was listed on the Vanderbilt website at what height would you guess? How tall is it?
What they listed him as?
Yeah, what Vanderbilt listed him as.
Probably 6'1".
Almost. He was listed at 6 foot on the team website.
Gave him too much credit.
Then he went to the Senior Bowl where they measure him. They measure him a lot more strictly. And he measured it 5'9 7/8".
Yeah, it sounds about right.
To which,
shorter than me.
To which Elika Sadeghi tweeted, now you guys know what it's like to be a straight woman on dating apps. That's a great line. I don't know this woman, but that's a great line.
Omaha! You're a lot shorter when they don't measure you in cleats.
Yep. Or
so they did my senior year, I think they measured everyone in their cleats.
And did you use the big cleats? You know, the really muddy.
I think I just had the half inches in that time, but yeah. And then they weighed me with all my pads on.
Of course they did. And what a Hulk you were.
Kendra, that was pretty good.
Kendra Middleton of 98.5 in Boston posted this. The Super Bowl next year is on Valentine's Day. Better start planning that conversation now. So does it matter, Trash Man? If the Bears are in it, there's like no conversation, right?
Oh, there's zero conversation at all.
What if they aren't? Do you have a Super Bowl? Do you need to watch the Super Bowl?
Well,
Do you and your wife have to have this talk?
So she usually works on Sundays anyway because she owns the restaurant, Mr. V's Pizza on the Northwest Side. So they're open on Sundays from usually 3 or 4 until 9. So she's always working during the Super Bowl anyway. It's one of their busier days. So I feel like I'm in the clear on that one. And we'll celebrate, you know, on Saturday or Monday.
Okay. I just wondered. I don't.
Easy conversation for me.
It's easier still if it's the Bears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she knows. She knows. Like, if it's the Bears, then it's off limits. It's not even, it's not, even not a conversation that needs to be had.
Okay. I just didn't know if you needed to share that, if you needed to have discussion about. Like,
she actually is already aware of it, that the Valentine's Day is on the Super Bowl next year.
That's good planning. That's the way to look ahead. And being Valentine's Day, big day. I don't know if it's a big day for pizza parlors. Seems like it's a big day for every other kind of place. Not pizza parlors, though.
It's not their biggest day of the year, but it's probably top 10.
Really?
They have other stuff. It's not just pizza. They have other stuff, too. Okay. But, I mean, Halloween is actually usually their busiest.
Halloween?
Yeah. I don't know why. I was surprised when she told me that, too.
How is business during the Bulls or the Bears then playing those Saturdays or any day they're playing a night game?
They were doing great during those. The Bears Saturday games, she's like, they need to play on Saturday more. They got a ton of business those days.
Right. The Bulls made Cottage Industries of a lot of pizza parlors, a lot of places like that. All right, let's move along here. We need an Omaha here. I have a new item.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
Almost as entertaining, or maybe equally entertaining, as the Louisville Metro Police Department is the Montreal Expos. They don't exist as a baseball team, but their social media department, somebody is manning the Expos Twitter account. A couple weeks ago, we offered Kyle Tucker a lot of poutine. I guess it didn't get it done. Another one. Retweet if you think the Expos should replace the Dodgers. That's a really good point of discussion. The Expos replacing the Dodgers. Another one. If the Blue Jays can intentionally walk Shohei Ohtani a kajillion times, we can retroactively walk Rick Monday once. Fair is fair. Game one of the 1981 World Series begins in the Bronx on Monday. Probable starters, Steve Rogers and Ron Guidry. That is such a painful time in Expos history. That game, Rick Monday hitting the home run. And they were supposed to go to the World Series. Did you know there's an Expos Fest?
No.
I don't know if you're an Expos fan or not, if you like it. There's an Expos Fest in 2026. Check out details. It's on April 26th. And the Expos Fest poster or ads for it, things you'll see online, when you look for the details, it features Randy Johnson, of course. That's what you'd expect, right? Felipe Alou, the manager of that 1994 team that was supposed to meet the White Sox in the World Series, but for baseball stoppage. But in true Montreal fashion, the Montreal Expos Expo Fest features Montreal Canadiens defenseman Larry Robinson, Hall of Famer, known as Big Bird, as a matter of fact. That's what you do up there. This, as I was putting this together, I looked at it and said, oh, that's, I like this whole idea. There is somebody, a businessman in Montreal, who is revealing plans week by week to bring back Les Expos. He's got ideas of how to bring them back, how to make it, bring it to the city, and bring back Les Nordiques, the Quebec Nordiques, the blood enemy of the Montreal Canadiens. That would be a terrific thing if they could bring those two teams back, because everybody loves road trips to La Belle Provence, to Montreal, Quebec City. You ever been? Montreal or Quebec City?
I've never been to Canada, actually.
I think they'll let you in even though you're American. I'm not sure what the rules are now.
Yeah, I don't know. I do have my passport, but, you know, I don't know. They let me into Mexico last year, so.
And back?
And back, yeah. No issues.
We're in Mexico.
That was on the Pacific side. I can't remember the name of the place we were at. It's escaping me now, but it was on the Pacific side, not on the side where like Playa del Carmen is. It's on the other side.
Playa del Carmen is Cancun.
Yeah, so they Cancun. That's on the Gulf side.
Yeah,
we were on the Pacific. I've been to Playa del Carmen in Cancun also, but that was even longer ago. That was 2017. This was last year for a friend's wedding.
Hell of a trip. Did you officiate?
I did not officiate that one. No.
Do people know? I think we need to update people. You are an officiant.
Two times now.
Two times.
I've done two. Yeah.
He has officiated weddings. He is a Universal Life Church minister. You got
that? I am.
You got. Internet approved.
You've I got the certificate and everything. I'm official.
Wow. And when somebody asks you to officiate their wedding, do you ask what you're serving? You find out if the food's good before you say yes?
I knew the friends' weddings that I did. I knew them good enough that I knew the food and, more importantly, the booze would be good.
Okay. There you go.
I don't really concern myself that much with weddings with the food. I mean, for my wedding, we were concerned about, we want to have great food. But for weddings that I'm going to, I'm more concerned about the open bar. If you don't have an open bar, we need to have a conversation.
Hey, I'll keep that in mind. All right.
Well, here's my thing. My thing with open bar, I know it's expensive, and if you can't afford it, fine. But you're dragging people from halfway across the country sometimes for your wedding. The wedding's for you. The reception's for everyone else.
You're right.
And so I might as well get you drunk if I'm dragging you. You know, I had a cousin that came from Hawaii for my wedding, you know? So I'm not going to drag him 5,000, 10,000 miles, however long it is, and not make sure he has free booze, you know?
You're not making him reach into his pocket.
Exactly.
Or the front of his Hawaiian shirt. Okay, last item, because you mentioned Cancun. Last item before. Omaha! Some random tweeter posted a picture of Caleb Williams in his football uniform, Bears uniform, hitting a volleyball over a net backed by a sign that read Cancun. To which Micah Parsons saw and retweeted, "We all here now." There you go. That's it for Cultural Zeitgeist. Take a break. When we come back, I have an email exchange. It features Terry Bores. I want to share with you before we get out of here. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kick his ass up to his neck and sell him to a carnival. You know, I mean, he's just a
That's the legend. Legendary Bores. So last week, I want to thank you all for joining me and taking the journey with me through the immediacy, the grief, and the laughter, and losing Terry. And actually, it was about this time last week, we heard from one of his grandsons, called the show. And then we had to dump him because he used a naughty word because he was one of Terry's grandsons. That's the way things go. And that's what people think of that dirty old man, Terry, and his alias, Edward Dickman, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. But after last week's show, I heard from Matthew Friedman. Kept in touch with him over the years. You may have heard him originally, Matt from Glencoe, as an intern, and then he became Glatt from Menco. And he shared with me an email exchange he had with Terry. "My name is Matt Friedman. I spent several different stints interning for Heavy Fuel and Monsters of the Midday from 1995 to 1999 before becoming a part-time weekend producer in 2000. You often referred to me as your Jewish nephew, or Matt from Glencoe. Steve Rosenblum then re-nicknamed me Glatt from Menco. I've been totally remiss in writing you this letter. I just finished your book and was inspired to reach out and express my gratitude to you. There are two main reasons that I will feel forever grateful to you. First, the valuable lessons that I learned from you, most notably, treating others, even interns, with respect and kindness. Just being a good human can go a long way. You went out of your way to treat me, and I assume other interns, as part of the team. This is something that I continue to pay forward when my company hires interns. I want them to feel like they are valuable, contributing, and being acknowledged for their hard work. This mentality comes directly from you and is in stark contrast to the actions of some of the other WSCR employees at the time. I'll never forget it. Second, the time that, during a show, you edited my essay on an application for an internship with the United States Olympic Committee. You genuinely wanted to make sure that my application was as good as it could be, and you took a lot of time to make sure that it was perfect. This drove Al Zamora, Mike Al Zamora, nuts, because he thought you lost focus during the show. At any rate, this is really important, because that application landed me that internship 20-plus years ago and proved to be a major stepping stone for what so far turned out to be a successful career in marketing and branding. Without that great essay on the application, who knows what would have happened to my career. So here I am today with a good career, a wonderful family, photo attached, and a memory full of fun and crazy stories from my time at WSCR. There's also no one at WSCR to whom I am more grateful than you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I wish you and your family nothing but good health and hope that you enjoy your well-deserved retirement. Sincerely and thankfully, Matt Freeman, a.k.a. Glatt Fromenko. Terry responded, "Hey, Glatt, that's one heck of a beautiful family. So congrats on that, just for starters. I've always taken more pride in what guys like you and Judd Surratt, Mike Greenberg, Jonathan Hood, and Matt Spiegel have accomplished. That makes me happier than anything I've ever done. If you read the book, you'll probably remember John E. Myers from Chicago Heights, who was already a legend when I started working for him. Gaining his trust and respect was difficult to do, but I finally wore him down. It was his kindness and generous spirit that I took to heart. I learned from the master, not only about the newspaper business, but the people business. John could be tough at times, but he never lost sight of what was important. He was paying it forward long before anyone ever used that term. I do remember editing your letter and Al Zamora's reaction. It wasn't the last time I lost focus, but sometimes it's worth it. Anything I did to help you along the way was more important than a silly radio show. I have faith that there are literally millions of people who feel that way. At least I hope so. My generation has been all over the map historically, but I think overall the baby boomers have acquitted themselves well considering the often turbulent times of the last 60 or so years. I'm sure that the time will come, if it hasn't already, when you'll get a similar chance to help someone. And I know you will. Thanks for the great letter. It meant a lot. Continued success to you and yours. Signed, Terry." I'm Terry Bors. Wonderful. That was Terry. That was what you may never have seen or heard or imagined. But if you listen Tuesday, Spiegel pulled it out of people. People wanted to say something, wanted to talk about Terry the human, Terry the person, what Terry valued. And his values were, there was a ferocity with which he could attack you if you didn't share important values. He knew which arguments, which fights were worth fighting. But if it was a value that he held in high regard, he would be ferocious about it. And he was about helping others. And he was about helping others succeed and achieve. And it seems like a silly radio show, as he called it, because he could just walk in, sit down, put his headphones on, and he was prepared. That was his pre-show meeting. Where's the mic jack? Where's the headphone jack? Here we go. But helping people took work. And it's something he wanted to do, something he did, something a lot of people talked about on Tuesday. Go back and listen to that. Wonderful, wonderful. Paints a wonderful profile of a human being. emphasis on human. And still there was the other side of Terry and his aliases. Edward Dickman, he had a friend, Phil McCracken. Terry was been known to have a variety of interests. One time after a procedure, he had so many of them, you'd think he had a loyalty card. Like 10 surgeries, you get the 11th one free. In and out of this, and he's always talking about, oh, this hurts, oh, I got to have this done, I got to do that. So one time after a procedure and he came home, I began sending him a dirty joke a day. Each morning I gave a dirty joke and I'd send it to him, email it to him. He would email me one back. First day I did that. Next day, I emailed him a dirty joke. He emailed it back to me. Another one back to me. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, he didn't email me back. I sent him dirty jokes. And after a week, I figured out. I figured out why he wasn't sending me dirty jokes. He'd either heard them or he'd written them. That was Terry. That was my friend, Terry Bores. That was your friend, Terry Bores. That was our friend, score legend, Terry Bores. And that's the way it worked. That's the way he was. And a lot of people will tell you everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a reason to remember, a reason to smile. And that's what he'll leave you with, is a reason to smile. Just ask Glatt from Menco. Whoever named him, he's Glatt from Menco. Okay, I'm done here. I'm done here next week. Okay, thanks, Trash Panda. I appreciate it. Especially my retirement montage. I'm so glad to know that's coming.
Just be ready. Just be ready.
Nicholas Moriano is the guest. All the Waken Bakers who let us know about Michigan pot, Missouri pot, where to go, which Native American reservations to go to. Appreciate that. Next week, we'll be here. 104.3 FM. As long as nobody important listens to the show, I'll be back on The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.